For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Take the First Step, as we pick up in Acts chapter 8, verse 24. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Then answered Simon, and he said, Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken will come upon me. And he asked for prayer, and I believe it was sincere. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, and they preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So John and Peter became evangelists. And as they were returning back to Jerusalem, they stopped in the villages of the Samaritans and preached the gospel unto many. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And so he arose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasure and who had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, this is interesting in several respects. First of all, it is interesting because it gives us an insight into how God leads us by His Spirit. So many times I have people say, I wish I knew what the will of God was for my life. And usually by that they are saying, I wish God would sort of show me on a screen, my future. I'd like to know what my future holds. I would like to know what God has planned for me. Then I can determine whether or not I want to do it. But in wanting to know the will of God, usually we want to know on down next year, 5 years from now, we want our 5-year program, our 10-year program, our 20-year program. Now God, you know, lay it out. But God only said to Philip, go down to the road that is going from Jerusalem to Gaza toward the desert. He didn't tell him anymore. That's the first step in the will of God. Now, God did not speak to him again until he had taken the first step. So many times when God has given us the first step, we don't want to go until He gives us the second step and the third step and the fourth step. And we are prone to say, Lord, why in the world do you want me to go to Gaza? There's nobody down there. That's a desert area, Lord. Why would you want me to leave this great meeting here in Samaria? Lord, you're making a serious mistake here. There are hundreds of people that are being saved. You know, they're coming and they're listening to the gospel. And this is exciting, Lord. Why should I go to Gaza? And I want the Lord to tell me why He has given me the first step. I want to know the whole plan, the whole program that God is doing. But God so often only gives us step one. And step two does not come until step one has been taken. And I am certain that had he stayed in Samaria, arguing with God, seeking to have further clarification of this call, that he never would have received it. God would have sent someone else to meet that Ethiopian eunuch. One step at a time, that's how God usually directs our lives. That's how God has directed my life. Just one step of it at a time. It used to bother me. It used to bother me severely that God would only lead me one step at a time. Now I find it rather exciting. And I always like it when it's God's move. You know, when I make my move and then I say, okay, Lord, it's your move. I am obedient to what the Lord told me to do, and now I wait to see what the next instruction is from him. I don't like it so much when it's my move. I have difficulty many times with my move. But it's always great when I've made my move and I turn and say, okay, now, Lord, your move again. Philip obeyed the first move. He left. No doubt had many questions in his mind, but he left Samaria, the great revival, and he went down to this area from going from Jerusalem to Gaza to the desert place. Notice that this man had been to Jerusalem to worship God and was returning, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. I believe that this man was a sincere seeker for God. In his heart, he was really seeking after the Lord, for no doubt the Spirit had been drawing him. And in his search for God, he came to Jerusalem, the center of the worship. Coming from Ethiopia, they were familiar with Judaism, because when the Queen of Sheba returned from her visit to Solomon, she took back to Ethiopia the Hebrew religion. And there began then in Ethiopia, the Phalangist movement, those Ethiopians who were Jewish in their faith and practices. Now, according to their traditions, the Queen of Sheba also took back to Egypt in her womb a son of Solomon, who they aptly called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And Haile Selassie, the recently, a few years back, deposed leader of Ethiopia, did claim to be a direct descendant of Solomon, and the king of Judah and the head over this faction in Ethiopia who followed Judaism. Thus, because Judaism was well known in Ethiopia and Jerusalem was the center of Judaism, in the search of this man for God, it would only be natural that his search would bring him to Jerusalem. The tragedy is that while in Jerusalem, he did not find what he was searching for. And now he is returning to Ethiopia just as empty as he came, a heart still yearning after God. But God saw the yearning heart. I believe that God sees every yearning heart, and that God will take measures to bring His love and truth to every true seeker after God. If a person is genuinely seeking after God in his heart, I believe that God will reveal the truth even by miracles or whatever. And I think such is the case. God saw this man, and so he stirred the heart of Philip in the midst of the revival and said, "Go down to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza, that desert place." When he got there, he saw the chariot and the man sitting in the chariot. And the Lord said unto him, "Go near and join yourself to this chariot," step two. But step two did not come until he was fully obedient to step one. And Philip ran up to him, and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said, "Do you understand what you read?" And he said, "How can I, unless some man should guide me?" And he requested that Philip would come up and sit with him there in the chariot. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Isaiah 53, that prophecy of Isaiah, of the servant of God who would be despised and rejected, the servant of God whose life would be taken away, who would be slain as a sheep without really responding to the charges. And the eunuch said, "I pray thee, of whom is the prophet speaking this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and he began at that verse, the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. And as we pointed out this morning, it wouldn't have made any difference where the man was reading in the Old Testament. It would have been possible to begin at that very scripture and preach Jesus. For the Old Testament is the story of Jesus from beginning to end. Jesus said, "You do search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but actually they are testifying of me. I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, O Lord." But he opened at that scripture and began to preach unto him Jesus. Oh, Jesus expounded to the disciples on the road to Emmaus all of Moses and the prophets, the things concerning himself, how he must suffer and die and rise. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down, both of them, into the water. I guess he didn't sprinkle him. Both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, that the eunuch saw him no more, but he went his way rejoicing. Philip had a ministry that brought joy to people. Remember, in Samaria, the result of the ministry, the city was filled with joy. Now he's ministered to this man who continues his journey, no longer searching. He is found. And as a result of his finding a real relationship with God, he is rejoicing. And from that time in history, there has always been a church in Ethiopia. And he no doubt had great influence on the establishing of the gospel and the church in Ethiopia. He went his way rejoicing. Now here's an interesting thing. Philip, the Spirit of the Lord, caught away Philip. Now, by what means or whatever, I don't know. There have been times when I wish the Spirit of the Lord would catch me away. When I'm facing a long hike back and you're weary and tired. But Philip was found at Azotus. It would appear from the language that it was sort of a miraculous catching away. That's what the language would indicate. But of course, nothing is really mentioned of methods or whatever else. So to speculate is worthless, you know. Why make guesses? Who knows? We don't. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, in a chapter or two, we're going to find Peter going down to Lydda and preaching to the church in Lydda, and healing a certain man by the name of Aeneas, who had been in bed for several years. And then we'll find that the church in Joppa, when they hear that Peter is in Lydda, send to him requesting that he will come quickly to Joppa, because a certain woman, Dorcas, had died. And so Peter went then to Joppa and ministered to Dorcas. Now, how is it that there was a church in Lydda and in Joppa? If you will look at the map and look at Gaza and then look at Azotus, and we are told that he went from Azotus in all of the cities, preaching till he came to Caesarea, I believe that these churches in Joppa and Lydda were probably established by the evangelist Philip, because these are some of the cities that he would be passing through going from Azotus to Caesarea. These are some of the cities he would be passing through. And I think that his ministry there resulted in the birth of churches in these areas that Peter later came down and ministered to. It seems that when he came to Caesarea, that he made Caesarea his home. And I can surely understand why. It is such a beautiful seaport city there on the Mediterranean. The water of the Mediterranean there takes on a special blue. The beaches are gorgeous, and if I had a choice of places to live, Caesarea wouldn't be a bad choice at all. And so Philip stayed there in Caesarea, established his home there, and years later, Paul visited with Philip there in Caesarea, remaining with him there in his home before he continued his journey to Jerusalem. And so we'll come back to Philip's house in Caesarea later on in the book of Acts. We'll return to his house and we'll visit for a while with Paul when we get to that point. So that's why I emphasize his house in Caesarea, because we're coming back to this house before we're through with the book of Acts. As we go on into chapter 9 next week, we will get to the conversion of Paul. the interesting aspects of his conversion, and then Peter's visit to Lydda and to Joppa. And then the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in chapter 10 on the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius in Caesarea, where Philip ends up. Now, it is interesting that God would call Peter for this work. It could be that Philip was not yet in Caesarea at this time, or it could be that, again, he had planted seed, and that's why Cornelius was such a devout man.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Acts on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Acts 8. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and the excitement that is generated in our hearts when we see men so used of the Holy Spirit. And we realize that they are just common men like us. And so, Lord, we desire that our lives be used by the Holy Spirit to share the love of Jesus Christ with the world around us. Lord, we offer you tonight our lives, our bodies, as living sacrifices, that we might, O God, be instruments in your hand, doing your work, touching the needy world around us. Oh Lord, we recognize that we need the power of your Holy Spirit to do any work that is truly effective. And so, Lord, anoint us with your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless, give you a beautiful week, fill you with his love and with his spirit, and may he use your life as his instrument, accomplishing his work. In Jesus' name.
The Word for Today resource, Pastor Chuck Smith's Most Requested, is an MP3 collection that contains 12 Bible study messages by Pastor Chuck, all popular favorites and often requested by his listeners. These messages were selected from thousands of studies that were recorded live at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. This series will strengthen and inspire you to diligently study the Word of God and apply it to your life. You can order this MP3 set at TWFT.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the
program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.